This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants, 18+, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. This video is sponsored by Voxy. Hello and welcome back to the Blues Focus podcast with me, Tommy Kelsall, Jamie Lawler and Josh Fudge.
How you doing?
In a week, we've already forgotten how to do the intro. welcome back to the podcast. We're hopefully going to be getting this a bit more consistently over the next few weeks. We have been absent for a bit, obviously, with the Stephen Knight podcast that we released on Wednesday. I hope you've seen that. It was a big project of ours for a long time now, and just sort of getting everything prepared for that was very time consuming. So the podcast sort of took a bit of a backseat for a little bit, but we should be back more consistently now. And let's talk about a winning game, because Blues yesterday, of course, 2-1 victory over Stoke City at the Bet365. Jamie, kick us off. What did you think to the game?
I thought going into Stoke, it's a very difficult game, isn't it? They're in form at the minute. They've looked great under Schumacher, is it, their new manager? Mm-hmm. They've been fantastic. Obviously, they battered us the other week, 3-1 on Boxing Day. Absolutely slapped us about. So it was nice to get the revenge. Two very, very well-taken goals. Bakunas was unbelievable. Stansfield, what a finish. Mm. What more do you want? Dogged performance. We fought. We battled. We looked like the old Blues a little bit. We just didn't give them an inch. Everything into that box just went straight back out. Was it a little lapse in possession at the time? Yeah, where we started to get tired 100%. But you can see Mowbray's already installed that confidence back into these boys. And it's nice to see.
Yeah,
like, we're knocking the ball about again. It's nice.
Yeah. What do you think to it, Josh? Do you think, were you a bit surprised by Stoke?
A little bit, yeah. I thought they were a lot better when we were at St Andrews, but I think that was more just because we were a lot worse. I think if they just got that final pass, probably could have got a couple more. But I'd say it was a dogged display by us. Not what we'd seen under Rooney. Players really battling. Sanderson seems to be back to the defender he was. But I guess that's because we're playing almost like a simple brand of football that the players are just doing what they're best at. We're trying to hit teams on the counter-attack. I mean, that's what we did yesterday. And I think Mowbray has gone back to what are the players the best at, and then he's slowly going to implement his style with the likes of like Bielik moving to centre-back. I wasn't too sure about it. Like, when I saw the lineup, I was a bit like, I know he did okay at Hull. I was a bit like, oh, but he looked all right, to be fair. And I think Mowbray said after the game, he wants Bielik to be that centre-back that like takes the ball through and plays it through the midfield and then through the attack. Yeah. So, yeah, I think he's got his ideas, but he's implementing them slowly rather than just thrusting them straight.
Yeah, no, that's the difference I've noticed with him rather than Rooney, is the fact that when he came in, he was just like, right, my ideas from now on, this is how we're going to play. Whereas Mowbray, you know, he just knows the game better, doesn't he? And he's been around the block for God knows how many years now as an English manager. And he just seems to get players and read the room and seem to, you know, gel with people when he arrives, you know. And that's exactly what we want as a manager. And realistically, like, if he does do well with us, I know he's got a 2-year contract, but like, if by 2 years and we are still doing pretty well, then I would say can keep him on, really. You know, unless there's like a manager who is like perfect for the job, then, you know, I don't think we need to worry about the future too much anymore. I think we can focus on the now at the moment with Mowbray, because we're going to have a good end to the season, I think. And I was absolutely determined that we were going to win yesterday. I was chewing my family's ear off about it all week, honestly. It was like, we are winning that game. I know we are. It's like, well, I don't know what the upcoming fixtures are, but I'll have a look at them in a bit and then see what my predictions are for it. But I mean, in terms of like performance wise, like how would you compare the Stoke game on Boxing Day to the Stoke game from yesterday?
Do you want me to take this, Josh, or do you want to go?
You go.
Confidence, I'd say, is the main one for me. You can just also, a little side note I want to put out is that Deion Sanderson couldn't pass wind under Wayne Rooney, and now out of nowhere he's switching the ball like prime De Bruyne. He's finding Dembele with 60-yard switches, and I'm like, hang on, what's going on here?
How good was he yesterday?
Unbelievable! Some of the balls he was playing out. Like, that's what I mean. Like the first game when I watched Swansea last week, I was like, watching Sanderson, he couldn't turn on the ball under Rooney. He's spinning on the ball. He's pinging it out wide. And I'm like, hey? Special mention to, I thought, again, Ivan. And I know he's people moan about him on the ball, but his work rate in that second half was unbelievable. Made some crucial interceptions. Yeah. I just think the whole team, I loved what Mowbray said as well in his interview. Bakuna is as mad as a hatter. And he is. He's nuts. But that's what we love about Bakuna. He has that moment in him. I mean, that free kick, oh my God. Like, wow.
I mean, we've had a few of those moments this season, and haven't we? You know, Gary Gardner's free kick was the first. Mm-hmm. I absolutely knew he was going to score because I said to Jack, like, I just got a feeling he's going to bend this one in. But the Bakuna one yesterday, I had no idea that was going to come because I've been critical of Bakuna this season for his passing, his crossing ability. But I mean, that shut me up. That was pretty amazing, to be honest. Because
as soon as it left his boot, you know, like, I've watched it because I had it on the radio yesterday, so I've then rewatched obviously if it was going on. And oh man, as soon as it leaves his boot, that poor keeper is at full. I don't think any keeper's getting that because he's at full stretch and he's nowhere near that.
Not a chance. Yeah, I mean, it was a mental few celebrations actually, because obviously the Stansfield goal was great, and then the Bakuna one was like utterly insane, and then at the full time as well. You know, it's great just to have a good feeling again around the club. I mean, I don't know about you, Josh, but like in terms of like going forward, particularly at home games, do you think this has a boost on the atmosphere?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I was watching the Stoke game. I couldn't be there, unfortunately, but I was watching it. And I remember the commentator saying, oh, it's a really good crowd for Stoke. Like, apparently they got some deals on or whatever. And the whole game was just Blues fans. And I was like, I know the away sport is brilliant, but if we can bring that back to St Andrews, then definitely. I mean, just in the Swansea game, the atmosphere just seemed up. Everyone just seemed a bit more, like, even when we conceded the first goal, it wasn't like under Rooney, it was like, oh, here we go again. It was, no, come on, we can get this back. And I think now that we've shown that and just the atmosphere, Bielik was talking about it in his post-match conference as well. He was saying how the fans just get in there when they're riled up, they give extra motivation for the team and just that bit of extra energy. And I think our players will feed off that. I think the likes of a Sunjic, he's not technically the best, but if he can hear that crowd roaring, he's going to keep going. Jordan James, rather young boys, if they hear the crowd, and obviously we're going to get behind the young players as well, but they go even further for the team. So I think if we could definitely take that back to St Andrews, which I think the crowds will start coming up now. The crowd seemed quite good against Swansea. I think people are intrigued now. And we always say, if you're winning, people are going to come.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Aaron's just said in the comments there, got the confidence back and it's all down to Mowbray. Spring stability and positivity. I mean, like, everybody was sort of up in the air about who we should get as a manager. I was happy with the idea of Mowbray, but I was also thinking Rowett, maybe, you know, it'd be great if we got Potter or somebody like Steve Cooper or someone like that. But as soon as he's appointed and he's here, we just knew it was just going to be a great end to the season. And I'm thoroughly believe that we're going to have a good end to the season now. I mean, like, I don't know whether there's been any championship games on today, but the last time I checked, we were 6 points from the top half and eight points clear at the bottom three. Realistically, you know, we are closer to the top half than we are to being in a relegation scrap. And, you know, if four wins time as well, we could be well within the chance of pushing for sixth, really. So, I mean, it's obviously very unlikely at this stage of the season, but we've got a few run of games that I think we can definitely pick some points up in. Obviously, the Borough game has been changed now from the Leicester Cup game. Mm. And then we've got West Brom away on the 3rd, which should be pretty exciting, to say the least. Particularly if we play the way we have in the last couple of games against them, it should be an absolute mayhem of an afternoon. And then we've got Sheffield Wednesday. That's more than a winnable game, that is. And then afterwards, we've got Blackburn. But then again, I don't know when they're going to move the Borough game to, which will be our first home game back. I mean, like, there's some winnable games in there. I know that West Brom and Blackburn are difficult teams, and we could get tripped up by Sheffield Wednesday. You know, I think that we've just seemed to have got that spirit back. And that's what was frustrating me under Rooney, is the fact that, like, I knew the players weren't bad. And I knew the fact that when Rooney was talking about them in the way, it was just like, no, they're not that bad. They really aren't. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that yesterday just showed that it's not the players' fault, in my opinion.
No, this was something that was irritating me when people were saying that the players are crap under Rooney. I was like, well, no, hang on. We finished 17th for the last couple of years, and this year we have a more technical and better squad than we have for a very, very long time. Don't get wrong, are half our signings injury prone? Yes, but when they're fit, my goodness, are they good players. Mm. So there is no way you are telling me that these players are not good footballers when we have dealt with some awful, painful footballers in the centre of this park. So, no, I'm not having it. It was never the players. It was, I don't want to say they're down tools under Rooney, but I just don't think they believed in the Rooney system. And I think they were done. Yeah. I think you just, when you're getting spoken down to like that in interviews, and when the manager's not taking any credit to it and going, oh, it's my fault, I'm putting this on him too much. They go, no, he's crap. You're going to just go, oh, you're a knob. Not playing for you.
Like, yeah. It looked like that on the pitch. Obviously, we can't speculate too much, but it's like you could just sort of get the feeling that they just weren't happy under Rooney. And, you know, Swansea was a good hard battle. You know, we were a bit lucky, yeah, I agree. But then Hull, we would, you know, got ourselves back into the game. Stansfield as well. Like, the thing is with Stansfield, I think that he was so criminally underused with Rooney, as with many of the players. But like, the goals that he is perfect with scoring was the goal that he scored on Saturday. Was the fact that he just gets at the back line, battles away with that last defender, and as soon as he's passed him, you know he's going to score because he's such a clinical finisher.
Yeah, definitely. He is that type that he likes to take the battle to other teams. And I mean, we saw with his celebration as well that he likes to rile up the away fans. I think of the Plymouth one. I know obviously that's a special one, a special game for him, obviously with his ties to Exeter. But I think definitely he's the type of player that he needs that battle in the game. And at points yesterday, it was after his goal, it was, I'm going to beat this Stoke team. And not as in like, oh, I'm going to do it all by myself, but just to prove a point of, I'm going to get another one now, just to prove to the fans that it is me. And as Jamie said, I think the confidence in the team is back. You can see with players like Sanderson would never have played those crossfield passes under Rooney. And even if he did, it would come off. And I would imagine Rooney would have bollocked him for it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Mowbray is, I mean, every press conference he's done so far, he's talked about in the training ground, the players are listening, they're nodding their heads, they're taking it on. He's really praising them. And he has said that there are certain things that certain players can't do, but then he's also gone on to praise them as well and say what they are really good at. And that's just the way to do it. That's how you're going to keep players on side. And already you can see the players want to play for him. And I think he's very much, he makes it about the players in a good sense, in that every game so far that I've seen, he's kind of given a clap to the fans and then walked off and let the players take all the plaudits. I mean, my dad's a West Brom fan, and he was saying about when Mowbray was at West Brom, he was very much, when he would come out at the start of a game, he would take all the applause and whatever. But then at the end of the game, he would just go back out and he'd let the players take all the plaudits and things like that. And I think that's what these kind of players need. I think it looks like we're adding a bit more quality as well with some of the players that we're linked with. But I think he wants to keep that core of the team, the likes of a Sunjic. He doesn't want to remove them from all technical because he knows what they can offer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the sign of a great manager. That is really is. Yeah, just knows exactly what needs to be done around a ground and everything, and the players and getting the people on side. One player that Bobby Fernos just mentioned this in the chat. I'll bring this question to you, Josh. He said, "I wasn't impressed with Tyler Roberts so far. Not sure what his position is or where his strengths are. Where do you think Mowbray could perhaps help him out there?"
I don't think he's a striker. For me, he plays behind the striker in a 10. I remember the first game of the season, pre-season, when we played Solihull Moors, him and Djukovic started up front, and it was very much that he would come short for the ball, and funnily enough, Juki was making the runs in behind, but it was working, and he seemed quite good technically, and I think a couple of games now, he's come on towards the end of the game, and we're wanting him to like run in behind, and he doesn't, he keeps running towards the ball, which is fine, because it shows that he wants to get on the ball. But I don't think him playing up top on his own is the right thing. I think probably Stansfield up front making the runs and him coming short would be a lot better. I think he's not up to speed at the moment, and that's only going to come. But I could already, Mowbray's given him the game time. He's not throwing him on when we need to win a game. Like yesterday, when we were winning 2-0, he brought him on. I think he played him on the left wing, which was fine. But he's not asking him to do loads and loads. He's just coming on, getting his minutes slowly. And I think he's doing that with Anderson as well. He's not overstemming them so they get injured again. But again, that's a sign of a really good manager who has done this before and knows what he's doing. So for me, Roberts just behind the 10 where he can link up that play rather than just up front on his own running in behind.
Yeah. And Jamie, of course, Andre Dizel was made a sub appearance yesterday, and also we've got a few other links to people like Callum Stiles and Alex Pritchard as well. But also as well, we do have a lot of players still to come back from injury as well.
Yeah.
So what do you make to all that? Yeah.
And this is what excites me now, is these players are starting to come back. You know, your George Halls are going to be fit. I mean, obviously, I know it's a long injury for this kid, but I'm still excited to see what Alfie Chang's going to bring when he comes back. Because I think Alfie Chan's going to have a lot to offer this team.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
It's very weird to say this after the first couple of games of the season. Ethan Laird doesn't necessarily walk back into this 11 because drama has been unbelievable.
We have spoken about this before, yeah.
We had that.
Cody Drama has been class. And this is the thing, and don't get me wrong, is Ethan Laird a class footballer? Yes, in my opinion, if he was a fully fit player that wasn't injured, he'd be a Premier League footballer 1,000,000%.
100%,
You can't, unless, like Buchanan, is undroppable for me. I thought Buchanan was solid yesterday as well. Drama has been so good on that side that it is going to be very difficult for our Laird to walk back in as well. Shout out as well. I think yesterday, I forgot to mention, someone's using Miyoshi properly. Someone's using Koji Miyoshi how he's meant to be bloody used. And look at that. He's a class footballer. Would you look at that?
I mean, some of the passes he played, he obviously got the assist for the goal, but he was just linking like the play like from back to the front and then back. And so he was like, he was a bit box to box. No, what sort of linking, what is the term? Like from back and forward central midfielder.
Box to box.
Is it box to box? I think. Yeah. Just sounded wrong when I said it then. But he was very box to box because he was picking it up deep at times and then moving the play forward. And then sometimes he was really far up and then holding it up and bringing it back. Stansfield did a lot of holding up yesterday, which was really, really important for us to run those minutes down at the end, which actually I should pull up on actually. How on earth was that goal allowed for Stoke? That's an absolute disaster of refereeing that was. Because honestly, I've never seen such an obvious dive in my life, honestly. That is like criminal. How it wasn't a free kick, a yellow card, and play goes on, 2-0 blows, we win. And they score from it. It's like we have to then defend for our lives. And 6 additional minutes at the end of it, it's, right pissed me off that did. Because I thought that at the time, it just looked like we'd switched off from the other end of the ground. And then when it come up on the board afterwards and suddenly seeing the dive, I was like, oh my God. Like, how on earth have they missed that? You know, because the linesman's on the same side that the player had dived on, because obviously they stay in line with the left back, and even he didn't see it. It's like what are they looking for? And then obviously the ref stopped the game whilst we were in on goal as well. We just that annoyed me as well, because that would have killed the game off, because Stansfield had been put through 3-1. That would have, it could have been 3-0 at that point, and that would have been dreamland. But yeah, just a couple of things from the referee yesterday really just sort of, it made the game unnecessarily tight for us at the end, and we didn't need that because we were so in control at one point. I mean, Stoke had a lot of the ball, but they weren't really playing it round in the way that was actually very dangerous. Like, we noticed where the players were going. We were staying tied to them. And there's one point in the first half where Lieber kind of sprints out and blocks one of the shots. I'm just like, this is working. This is, you know, and I'm seeing the patterns that are starting to come now. You know, we defend tightly, make sure nothing gets in our way. And then we can start to break and get through players like Dembele, or we can play long to Stansfield. He can hold it up and then move it back through Miyoshi. You know, and there's just a little system there. And Jesus Christ, like, the team we have, when you actually write all the players' names in the list, that 1 to 11, and then all the rest of them, you suddenly realise we've got some amazing players and some great youngsters as well. And that's the thing that's getting me excited now, because I'm thinking, right, we've got Mowbray till the end of the season. That's going to be, what, how many months into his contract? So he started in January, say 5 months into his contract. So he's still got a year and a more than a half still left on his contract. The amount he could do with a fully fit squad, it just excites me. You know, Tyler Roberts can be swapped in and out. Miyoshi can then be played in that role. You can then bring in back players like Alfie Chang, Jordan James, if he must go, has still got plenty of backup for him once they're all fit. I'm just thinking, like, there's possibilities for this team, and we're still improving as well. You know, we're getting Andre Dizel in, who looked good when he came on, put a great challenge in at one point, which I was really pleased with. And yeah, I'm just thinking, like, we've got Drama and Laird both as right back options. You know, some teams would kill for just one of them. You know, we've got Lee Buchanan at left back, Donovan as well. We've got some solid centre backs, Sanderson and Long, and Mark Roberts, who is pretty decent under Rooney, to be fair to him, and will continue
probably
to be
Rooney's
decent.
Best player.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just thinking, like, all the players that we've still got in the squad, I'm thinking this is why this season has been a bit of a fail, really, with Rooney. Because, like, the potential we could have reached with this squad, I think it's just typical Blues, in my opinion, because we could have hit on something. And I think we screwed ourselves over again, didn't we, with putting Rooney in charge. And yesterday was a little bit of a realisation for me at the same time, because I was really happy we'd won. But I was also like, bollocks, this should be one of the results that's getting us closer to the playoffs, not further away from the relegation zone as usual.
Yeah,
of course. But this is Birmingham City, and this is what we do, isn't it? Like, that's also, I'm just throwing this one out there. I called this after Boxing Day when I was sat in the pub afterwards, and I think it was you, Tommy, I said to, I went, all three of the goals that Stoke have scored today are fullback errors. We started Iwu and Longello at either fullback that game because of injuries. No disrespect to either player. They just don't have the defensive capability that a Cody Drama and a Lee Buchanan give you. And that was... Let's go back to that Boxing Day game. It was the first two goals were Iwu pushing up because Rooney's told him, you're right back, you've got to go forward and help with the play. Ball goes over the top of his head, through one-on-one, goal. This time, you ain't doing that past Drama. He's quicker than he looks as well. You think the band's got the beating of him, and then Drama just appears and makes a tackle. You're like, oh, right, good.
Yeah.
If you want a stat for Drama, this might have changed. Before yesterday, he had the second most tackles per minute in the league.
Wow.
And Ben Sheaf had the only more. So that just shows. Because I think the thing with Drama is, not only does he go for a tackle, he almost always wins a tackle.
Yeah.
I think there was one point in the season, I think midway through Rooney, he had something like a 90% win rate on his tackles, which was by far the highest in the league. So, I think, like I said, Laird doesn't come straight back in.
No.
I think there's a couple of things that we're doing that when he does get back, it was like, you can see perfectly where he fits in. Like, Miyoshi's drifting in. And there's a couple of times where the whole right flank is free. It's like, you just want Laird. Like, you say Drama is quick, but he's not Laird.
Oh, no, Laird is unbelievable.
Yeah. Laird is just smart, isn't he, though? Because the perfect example I have of him is at Bristol City. Like, every single time they tried to switch the ball over the other side, he just knew. You could see it. You see his eyes just looking at the ball, and he was like, right, I'm on it. And he got in front of them every time. And, like, Cody Drama is probably just as quick, but I just think Ethan Laird is just... He's had more experience as a first-team player, hasn't he?
I mean, he's just so good. Then there's the thing, we talk about how good they are going forward and going back. We've actually finally got fullbacks that are complete fullbacks. They're great going forward, they're great going back. Look at the Preston game when we drew, not Preston, Ipswich when we drew 2-2 under Rooney. That performance of 70 minutes was unbelievable. What caused the downfall? Laird went off injured. Laird's still walking behind the bloody goal. Yeah. He's walking behind the goal as he watches it go to 2-1. And even you see him look at Laird's like, really? He cleared about three bloody balls before that. Back post, he headed them away. So, the squad depth we're going to get is scary. The depth we're going to grow in the summer is even scarier. And then when the injuries come back, we are, I think, genuinely going to be a force to be reckoned with next season.
I think so, towards the end
of this season.
Yeah, I just think that the future looks so much brighter now than it did under Rooney. And if anything, we've got an upgrade from Eustace as well, because, you know, like, we've had to take a bit of a detour through Rooney. And maybe the fans wouldn't have been happy with getting rid of Eustace for Mowbray. I'm not too sure about that. Let me know what you think in the chat. But I just think, though, that like the Rooney one was like a little bit of an experiment, maybe. Just like, let's see, you know, if he's a big name, so he will have people who'd be interested to come work with him. And if he works, then it's like fantastic for the brand and everything. But if it doesn't work, then it's not too much of a hit on the team. I don't know. This is just all the theory, by the way. But I just think, though, like if we had replace Eustace with Mowbray, wouldn't have been the same feeling we've got. But like, obviously, he's coming after a hard time of thinking, like, you know, that he can really work his magic now. And like, I think like he can just be like sort of the glue that holds every little bit together, really, with the club. Because I think just because he's a really nice guy as well, really, because he's just like a proper guy, really. I think that's what's been missing, really. With like, we didn't, obviously Rooney's a nice guy as well, but he just didn't come across like that in his interviews or on the touchline. You know, he felt a bit,
it felt like all wrong, didn't it? Yeah, I think Mowbray's come in, and I know he's from up north, but he just fits the club, the way he talks, and just like just that first press conference where he started talking about the food that was put on, and it was, I was just listening going, yeah, he's our manager.
Yeah,
like,
he's our boy.
He's one of the best appointments.
None of this, oh, I've had so many. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had so many, like, appearances for England. And, like, we don't care about that at Blues. Like, someone that just gets us.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's one of the most relatable managers we've had in quite a while, isn't he? Because, when we appointed managers before, like, when we got Chris Hughton in, when we got relegated, it was like, oh bloody hell, you know, we are still going to make a bit of an effort this season. And then Rowett, when he came in, got the club, everybody felt brilliant. I remember our first game under Gary Rowett, I think was it 0-0 at Wales Wolves or something like that, and I just remember the away end, as soon as the final whistle went, we're all just celebrating. It's like, get in. It was like, I swear we just lost to Bournemouth 8-0. So to get a point away at Molineux was a big result. But then obviously that was great with him. And then Monk as well, fantastic appointments, real big favourite of mine. You know, it just seems to connect with the team and everything. But Mowbray, I think you could almost say he's probably better than any of them. I think because he's probably a better manager than all three of them. Hughton maybe, you know, pushing it a little bit. But also as well, I just feel like he connects with a few different demographics as well, as like looking at it from a business side as well. So I just feel like the connection is just so much more there with him now than it was with any manager, particularly any manager we've had since Monk's left. Like, fucking hell, honestly. I mean, Bowyer was good, but it was a bit of a chance on him as well. But Mowbray, it's just like, he's a proven manager. He gets teams, winning, and he can really just like, you know, put some Vi back in the team, really. I'm really excited about this. I really am.
I think, especially with Mowbray, when we get a new manager, it's always for me, is I look and I'll ask the other fans of the clubs he's managed. I'm yet to find a real negative on anyone saying anything about Mowbray. Everyone who I've spoke to, who are West Brom fans, Covey, managed Cov for a bit.
Yeah, you know them.
Like, I work with some of these guys and I've said to them, what do you think? And they went, amazing manager, get to your club. He's proper working class man. He just understands the fan base, understands, you know, the way it goes. And he's just a passionate guy. And you can see it from day one, can't you? He's walked into the club. He's put his arm around all the players. He's gone, lads, here's what we're going to do. It's going to be all right. You know, and he's installed the one thing that we all always bloody ask for, which is just hard work. Jay Sandfield didn't stop at that fucking back line for 95, 96 minutes. Didn't stop.
It was great.
He just went. That's all you want. Hogan, last week, It was like we had COVID Hogan back, like long hair COVID Hogan, where he was unbelievable when he just didn't give him a second. That's what you want.
Mm. No, well, yeah. Yeah, Sunderland must be gutted.
I know, yeah. I feel for Job more than anything. Job's gone to play under Mowbray, and then Mowbray's joined us.
Oh, I know, yeah. Well, he could always come back if he wants to. yeah, let's have a look ahead to the Leicester game then. Big game, I think this is, because I reckon we can win it. I do genuinely believe we can win this. I mean, like, there's Leicester. Do they have a few of their top players out at the moment, or I can't remember
that? But I think the bonus. Sorry, I've just cut you up, Josh, and I'm so sorry. I'll let you go. I was just going to say they've got a game Monday, and have they got people away at the Cup of Nations?
They might do, actually. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Yeah,
yeah, they might have a couple. I don't know how to say the guy's name. Some a tall midfielder that they've got from Chelsea on loan. Kasady or something like that. He's been recalled from Chelsea. That's another first team player down. I think with the league as well, they are kind of just running away with it. But I do expect them to make a lot of changes. Where I don't think we will, because I think we've got quite a gap. Obviously, it's just the week, isn't it? Like, so it's like a normal thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if he just puts out his first team again, or only changes one or two and uses this as another chance of, let's keep learning how I want us to play.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Like that, so I wouldn't be surprised to see the likes of Anderson come into the team and maybe Robert start. Maybe he takes out Dembele and Miyoshi, give them a rest. But I mean, he showed against Hull that he's not scared to do five changes at once if he wants to,
and he absolutely changed the way. I mean, let's give FA Cup Djokovic a go as well. Do you know what I mean? I absolutely love a bit of the Duke. If you're gonna, I mean, if these are the games you want, we want to win this. Surely, not the FA Cup, obviously. We're not winning the FA Cup. We're not saying this in one bit. We'd like to get
through that
the
round.
Win the Prem, then.
Champions League in 3 years. is that the team that's going to beat Leicester, though? Like, is that a team that could beat Leicester? Because I reckon we can treat this like a normal league game. And if we take that same mentality, so let's say that this is a league game, we're going to try and get a good win or at least a point, because obviously if we draw, I think it goes to a replay and not to extra time. Yeah. So if we treat this like a league game, then, you know, like we can really, like, we can imagine that, oh, that's another win that puts us higher up and up. But like, we go through to the fifth round. If we get a good away tie at a Premier League ground, the atmosphere around the stadium, it's going to be fucking bouncing, honestly. Or even a good home tie against somebody big, you know. Like, I just think, like, we're in need of a proper fixture to get us really back together, because it's been ages since we last played somebody big. I feel like if we can beat Leicester, which I think is more than capable, we're more than capable in the current form we're in. But it's like, can you imagine like an away tie at United, or even a home tie at United? Like, the stadium would just be, and the fans would be so enticed by it all. It'd be fantastic. You know, the last big game we had, with fans was West Ham away, and that was a great day out. But like, obviously the last big game we had was Man City in the cup, but obviously we couldn't go to that, and we were shit under Karanka as well. So, you know, it will be like feeling in the Premier League again, you know, and just for one game, you know. I don't expect us to beat Leicester, definitely not, and I definitely don't expect us to get a win against a big team in the fifth round. But, you know, like, I mean, a couple of people are saying in the chat, I would love to get Villa in the cup. I'm like, it's been ages since we played them as well. And like, they probably will beat us and, you know, probably will feel a bit shit. But like, just to be on the same pitch as each other again, you know, it's been such a long time. And honestly, the fan base has been so depleted because of it. You know, we're a fan base who, you know, like you were saying, Jamie, you just like love to get hard work in and get stuck into everybody. And when Andrea Dezelle, who's probably a nice little fancy midfielder, absolutely went slamming into that player yesterday, I was like, go on, son, that's a proper Blues mentality, that is. And so like when playing the Villa, it's like, or a big team, like that brings it out of us as well. And it could just fire something for us, really, you know. And I feel like whatever it could be, you know, and chances are if we do beat Leicester, we'll probably get Forest Green or somebody in the fifth round or someone shit like that.
just throwing this one out there, and I mean, this is why I'm cracking up to myself, because I've just got an image of Wolves or Villa at St Andrews. You imagine how much of a shithouse Jay Sandfield, Bakuna, Ivan Sundjic, they'd just be absolutely, it'd be like Mortal Kombat in the middle of the stadium. It'd just be brutal. Like, do you remember when we played Villa a few years ago, and within about 3 minutes, Kiftham out just absolutely crunched Greenwich.
What a tackle. I've still got
Sunich. Sunich is getting booked in about 35 seconds.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, Mark Roberts is coming back for that game just to absolutely snap someone in half. Like.
I reckon the referee should actually book him before the game even starts. It's like, we're going to get it anyway.
You're telling me Jay Sandfield won't be up for that game? That would be horrendous. So what? He'd be awful.
But the great thing about that is, like, one, if we beat Leicester, that's a great addition to the season and the fan base. Two, if we do get the Villa or somebody massive like that in like a big tie, that also boosts the club. And it also helps with the revenue for the club as well, because imagine how many we would take to Man City away. We'd fucking sell the whole end of that stadium, honestly. It's like we'd absolutely go mental. We took 10,000 fans to our away fixture in the Europa League, you know. Like, I'm absolutely certain about it. And if by some miracle we do get the Villa and beat them, that'll be like an extra four things as well, you know, because we'd be on top of the world at that point. You know, the fan base would be like so in back and so enthused again. And that was the only thing that Monk couldn't do. And, you know, that he was really getting the fans back together at one point. You know, he was really like, we were singing in the streets after one night game. We were on an amazing win streak, and, you know, the players were just like quality, but he just couldn't beat the Villa. And had he have done it once that season, had it been that away fixture, which probably we should have done, home fixture, they played us off the pitch a little bit. You know, I think that would have really set us up for a good season. And this is what I'm talking about, you know, like we get a big cup fixture, you know, if it is Man City away, that the fans will just be like, let's go for it, you know. It's going to be an amazing day out, you know. And that, you know, all the coaches arriving at the Etihad, it's just gonna be like mental. So I really do want to beat Leicester, and I think we can now. That's the thing, because like under Rooney, fucking hell, we're absolutely murdered under them. We played well against them at home, but I don't know. I just think, like, had he still been in charge now, it would have been tricky these past couple of games. But this is what I'm talking about now. Like, we got Mowbray. Anything's possible. I'm absolutely certain of it.
He's just got installed belief again, and that's all we want. We believe in this team again now after yesterday. Yes, we had 30% possession. Yes, it was back to the walls for the last half an hour. One, like you said, Tommy, their goal shouldn't have stood. But Blues of old, as in, and by old, I mean the Blues of 5 games ago, that would have ended 3-2 to bloody Stoke.
Yes, that would have. But it wouldn't have been 2-0 in the first place, though, would it?
No. Well, no, because a lot of Rooney's tactics was, oh, let's give Jay Stansfield the ball on the wing. Oh, no one's in the box with him. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It would have been Stansfield on the wing and Nolly Burke up front. That would have been it.
Where's he gone, by the way? Where's he vanished? <Hopefully. laughs>
Well, he was. Was he on the bench yesterday? I can't remember now. I don't know.
I don't know if he was. Yeah. He might have been, but I think
Blues focus insights come for more.
Mowbray has seen him and has just realised that he's not going to be in this first team. But I think that's what's so good about Mowbray, is that, as you say, he's been around the block. He knows what he's doing. Like he said in the interview yesterday after the game, that he kept telling the team to press, win, go and get a third. But he said that obviously the players are so used to, oh, we've got one goal, let's back up. So when it went 2-0, they were just defensive. And he said, I was trying to tell them, but obviously that's how, and that's why he threw on the third centre back, because he was like, I just want to shore it up. Like another manager wouldn't have done that. And they would have just probably thrown on five centre backs with about 20 minutes to go. But he was leaving it as long as possible. And then he realised, no, actually, we do need to shore it up. But like, as you say, he's like the man management of the game. Like we didn't get that under Rooney. We didn't get it from minute one from Rooney. Eustace did it a little bit, but you can see Mowbray's got that by the subs he made in the whole game, the decisions that he made yesterday. Like even the transfer of Dizel, like when he came in, like I'd heard of Dizel before and I'd seen him at QPR a couple of times, and it was very much, oh, he's a tricky midfielder, he'll play the passes, whatever. We won't really get stuck in. Then he put that tackle in. I was like, oh, yeah. You can do that as well. And I wouldn't have been surprised if...
Welcome to Birmingham.
Wouldn't have been surprised if Mowbray whispered in his ear and just said, go and leave one in on him. Go on, show him what you're about.
I think
straight away that tackle, I was like, yes, Dizel. Yeah, he's going to fit in here. Well, I think if he'd backed out a little bit, it would have been a bit like, I don't know how you're going to get on.
He's one of them.
That is so the thing, though, honestly, because I'm a very calm, reserved person in real life. I'm not very shouty at anything. At the football, I want that every single game, honestly, because I just hate losing. And that's the thing, referring to the Stephen Knight podcast, I was just so happy to hear him say, look, I just always want to win. I'm like, that's a proper Blues fan when you see him. Yeah. Just you just hate losing, honestly. And Dizel, as soon as he made that challenge yesterday, it's like you say, Josh, just like, you're fitting. You're welcome here at Blues, that's for sure. Yeah.
I think so. It's nice having a manager that understands football in terms of, we've had managers of old that will try this back five thing. Clearly, Mowbray's watched the game for 10 minutes and gone, these lads have gone into a shell. They're just panicking. I need to shore this up. We tried this under Rooney. Again, Ipswich went to a back five, crumbled. Under Mowbray, there was belief. And we could have made it 3-1. I mean, how they didn't go down to 10 men, by the way, because from what was it? Miyoshi was pretty much through, or Stanfield. The goalkeeper went for a corner. It's pretty much an open goal, and they've pulled him back, and it's not a red. I'm like, that is a goal scoring opportunity there, mate. Like,
yeah, fucking damn was, yeah.
But if we did that, I guarantee, gone. See you later. Yeah.
Three games out.
But this is what I'm saying, it worked. Mowbray read the situation, read the room, and it's a far cry away from when our wonderful Mr. Crankyar used to go 1-0 up, take off a striker and a winger, bring on a CDM and an extra centre back, and they'd be perplexed as to why we just fucking lost.
Put Jeremy Beller at right wing. Back.
What happened that? Well, I don't know. What do you mean? You don't know?
Oh god. A good comment there from Terry actually says, all I can say is our owners are listening to our fans. Mm-hmm. Got so much respect for everybody. Yeah, it's spot on. I mean, like Jeremy Dale was stood literally behind me yesterday. I had no idea. Jack said to me at halftime, sort of whispered to me, it's like, Jeremy Dale's behind us. I was like, I thought he meant like a couple rows behind us, because I knew he sits in the stands quite a fair bit. I didn't realise he was literally the seat behind me. I was like, I think I'd even panned around at one point with my phone. I still didn't realise it was him. So, on the ball as usual. I just think that they've got this right with this appointment. And I think they've understood that they made a mistake with Rooney. They tried with it, you know, and they wanted to see if it worked. Obviously, it hasn't. And getting in someone like Tony Mowbray is just going to be fantastic for Blues and all the fans involved, really. And, you know, it just appeals to every Blues fan, I think, really. I don't think there's anybody out there saying at the moment, ain't too sure about this, you know, it's looking a little bit dodgy or anything. Performance-wise, maybe, because we haven't played against someone big just yet and we don't know how we're going to fare. But I just don't think you can say that there isn't an excitement around the club at the moment, though, because there just is, in my opinion. So, I don't know.
He's done two good things already. He stopped the rut of losing. We got 2-2. We've gone through the FA Cup. Sorry, and the third thing, you said straight away, I want to address this away form. Get one game, he's done it.
Exactly.
He's done it in game one. He's gone, there you go, lads, there you win. Sam's.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just the most important thing, particularly in the Championship. I mean, like, wins are all that matters. And wins are all that matters because 4 games time, if we win them all, we could be sixth. Like, that's all, seventh. Like, that's how fucking tight it can be. We can go from being relegation candidates to being playoff candidates in like 4 games, 4 wins. And you look at the fixtures, 3 of those, we could be well within contention. it's how it goes.
10 days of this window to go. You never know what's going to happen here in 10 days at Birmingham City. Yes, sure. Would it be sad if Jordan James does go? Yes, if we get a good price, and could we very quickly, you know, recycle that into some bloody good players? More than likely. A lot of things can change here in the next 10 days as well. It can be very... I mean, let's be honest, deadline days of Blue Nose is always stressful at the best of times, because we all know... Atalanta are going to come in at probably like 10:30 at night with a ridiculous bid, and our heads are going to fall off, and I'm going to have to be sulking. Yeah,
I do want to move the conversation on, but Jordan James-wise, I think, I reckon they've got only a couple of days to actually get that one finished, really, Atalanta, or whoever's interested in. I saw Fiorentina are interested in now. But if they do it literally the last day of the window... If I was Gary Cook or whoever sorts it out at the Blues, I'd be like, no, you know, you've had all this time to sort it out. We can't replace Jordan James at this late in the stage, at the window, you know, like, no, you know, fair enough. We come back in the summer transfer window, you can have him then, you know, but well, they might get some pre-contract deals sorted or something like that, but he can't leave, you know, we still need him at this point, you know, that's, you know, no last minute appointments. And even in 4 days' time, you know, no, you know, we've got a big game against Leicester, you know. It's like, this needs to be done either now or not at all, or in the summer, you know what I mean? Like, this, not right now, you know, not on the last day of the transfer window, no chance. That's just my opinion. Anyway.
And we're now a club where we don't have to fall into that stuff. We don't have to financially be pulled apart by this stuff anymore. We can actually be stable under it, so all power to it. Anyway, I'll let you carry on.
Let's get some predictions in then. Be sure to fire your predictions in for the Leicester game in the chat. So, Jamie, what do you think is going to happen on Saturday?
I genuinely think we turn up. I think they've got a game Monday, and although I think they are storming the league, I think they are looking over the shoulder a bit, because there's about three or four teams now that are catching up to that second place. Mm. I think they definitely want to get back to the Prem. I think there will be changes. I think we start our strong team, and I think we go through 2-0, 3-1 maybe.
2-0, 3-1, bloody hell.
Yeah, I think...
I'm very confident.
I think if they're going to rotate, and I think, you know, they've got to, I think we'll go to it. Is Suter is one of their centre-backs. He's away at the Asia Cup as well, isn't he, with the Aussies?
That'd be good then if he's out as well, because he's a big bastard.
They're 6'6" centre-half, he's not playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have
we'll put Mark Roberts up front, why not? go on, Josh, what do you think?
I'm thinking, I think it kind of, I'm expecting it will go kind of like the Stoke game. So I'm going 2-1.
Okay.
We go 2-0 up. I think we hit them early when they're not expecting it. I think they slowly start to get back in the game. I think second half, again, we hit them early. I think they will probably then sit back like we did again. But I think we might concede one. But I think that we can hold out for a 2-1. Jamie, you were just saying about their 6'6" centre backs out. Remember, they have got Vestergaard, who's like 6'5".
Yeah, I know, but from everything I watched from that Leicester game beforehand, he is slow. Like, if you unleash your Stansfield with the same runs and the Miyoshi through balls that he dealt with on Saturday, that Vestergaard ain't got a prayer. He's getting sent off because he's having to clip him in the heels every time. There is no way. I remember watching him going, he is... Because they play a back three, don't they? And they're literally, everyone else just goes forward from what I watched last time. And their three just sit there. Is that Foose as well? They've got at the back. He's a liability on the ball. I'm not being funny, but he's a liability. He skinned up four of our players at one point, but you could see it. Even the players were looking at him and not once passing the ball half the game. Yeah. So they're a bit frail at the back. They score a lot and they're top of the league for a reason, but my God, do they concede a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Before I answer mine, I'm going to read a few out. Bobby Fernell says 2-1 Blues, especially if Leicester rotate. 1-0 Blues, says Terry Earl. We'll take that. Adam Patrick Humphreys says 2-1 Blues. Keep right on, Adam. I agree with all those, but I do think though one thing we are forgetting is the fact that Leicester are more than capable of scoring. So I think the way that I can imagine it going is them getting the first goal of the game probably a little bit early, so probably dampen the atmosphere a little bit. But I think we'll hit back and make it 1-1 after a good bit of football and a good spell for us. It might be another Stansfield type of goal, really, where he just tries to get at the back three and try and nick something. And then I think the second half is going to be where it's just like back and forth, very much like how it was before we got the first goal against Stoke yesterday. But I just think, though, it's going to be one of those games in the second half where the next team will win it, whoever scores. I think we will get that goal on the break. Then I'm debating whether they're going to get another goal back to think, you know, whether we feel like we've done it and then they get a very late goal and take it to a replay. I think replays are still in effect in the fourth round.
I think they're in effect until the semi-final. Once you get to Wembley, I think it's not in effect anymore.
I think we'll either win 2-1 or we'll draw 2-2 and that would be a bit of a kick in the teeth, really, I think. But I think if we can defend how we did against Stoke, which will be monumental to defend like that, because obviously Stoke have got the attackers or even the aerial threat that Leicester do, you know. So I think a 2-1. Diane also thinks a 2-1 Blues, and Mick agrees a 2-2 as well. But yeah, I feel like, you know, it's going to be a hard game, but it'll be a very entertaining game as well. I just don't think, though, we'll get rolled over. And if we do, then it'll be a bit of a telling sign of how the season's going to go. Or maybe not, I don't know. But, you know, it's. I think, though, with like Leicester, it could be one or two ways, really. So I think, yeah, either a win or a draw. I don't think we'll lose, though. I can't see us losing at that ground, you know. A replay, maybe things can change in a couple of weeks. You know, we've got to rotate fixtures again. Players might be tired. But I just think while we're up for it, I think we can just go for it, really. Bobby says a replay would be good for Mowbray again, I think. Another game to build. I agree, but also player-wise, it would be tiring for them, you know, because, like you say, you two have been saying injuries all podcasts. It's just like, you know, when they get injured, they are injured. It's like with Bielik, he's either like, he's just got like a little bit of a landed awkwardly, or he's out for 8 months. So it's never anything in between. It's like out for a couple of games, you know.
Bielik permanently has a knock.
Yeah. He's always injured, honestly.
So when you play Football Manager, he's always just got the little yellow injury symbol above his head. It's just always hovering by him, like.
Yeah, definitely. Scott does say, though, I really love everybody's optimism, but you can't write off Leicester. Premier League team, storming the Championship, think it's going to be a struggle. It will be difficult. I'm definitely not suggesting we're going to go there and be prime Barcelona there or anything, but I 100% agree that Leicester are storming the league, you know, and they are taking it to teams on a daily basis. But I don't know. There's something about us at the moment that I feel like we're really up for it. And I don't think even if we were to lose, it would kill the form we're in. I think what would kill the form is a loss to somebody like Sheffield Wednesday, and it's like, fuck, you know, like that was stupid. That was so. I think for as long as we can keep it going, I just think we can't lose at the moment, and that's why I can't see us losing against Leicester, because we just seem to have hit something at the moment. And I know it's early doors and everything, but like early days. I just think we can do something on Saturday, and with it being the 3 o'clock kickoff as well, it will just feel like a normal league game for me. So I really want to win that game, and I think we can. So I think that's pretty much all we've got time for, actually. Thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of the Blues Focus podcast. Again, like I said at the start, we'll be trying to keep this a little bit more consistent after we've done all the big podcasts. We are going to be looking for a big podcast still, big guests and everybody to come on. So do keep your eyes out for that. I think we'll do a proper podcast, me, Jamie and Zach and Sam, due to like sort of like how we sort of went through it and everything. Just to talk about it, really, because there was so much about it that doesn't really get spoke about. Obviously, when we won the award as well, I was going to do a video for that, but in reality, we should have done a podcast for it, because it was just too much to talk about in like a well-structured video. We'll make a podcast about that very soon, and we will be keeping the podcast more consistently. But for now, thank you very much, Jamie and Josh, for joining me. It's been a pleasure as usual. Thank you guys for listening. And keep right on.
Keep right on.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.